We're up here in the mountain states, where the Rebels run and play. The Aggies got old Keaton back, and boys, he chose to stay. I'm on that Mountain West connection, and I'm going to soundbite my hot takes. My internet's up and wired, and my Skype is up and at 'em for that Mountain West Sprott's hot takes. Well, I'm gonna travel up to Reno, and I'm going to travel to Fresno. I'll take the train to Albuquerque and fly the plane to Hawaii. I've got that Mountain West connection. Gonna see Colorado State. Gonna fly with Falcons and surf with the Aztecs on that journey from San Jose to Wyoming.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Check us out at MWCConnection.com. Twitter at MWCConnection. Jeremy here, hanging out with Chris.
What's up?
Talking some media days and San Jose State preview wrapped into one show.
Yeah, because, you know, we figure that those are two things that we could take a reasonably short amount of time to talk about both.
Together, so make an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Together. So be prepared to listen for the next hour and a half.
No, I can't go. Not tonight. I can't go that late tonight. That'd be a bit too late. So the big news, if you want to call it news, we're jumping right into it. No more off topic. It may happen, but probably not tonight. Because as we know, that is the alternate name of the show. Mountain West Media Days. Can you give us a round of applause real quick? Or a pat in the back?
Oh.
One of the two. Some sort of a...
I did both.
Gesture of a thumbs up saying, good job, guys. Because...
Why?
Well, prior to Media Days, we did our own little our poll from our writers, with 15 of about our 20 or so we have. Say, who's going to win the Mountain West title this year? Who's going to player of the year, defensive player of the year? And well, I think we know what we're talking about. We're spot on with
almost.
Well, the Mountain Division, we didn't get correct, but it was close. But we got it close. We even got a first place Colorado State vote, which the media predicted as well.
Did we get 3 first place Nevada votes?
We got 0. I did not choose Nevada.
Good.
0.
Good.
Here's what happened. We picked Utah State with 9 first place votes and the Mountain. Boise State with 5, but only a 5-point difference overall. The media, who was in attendance, picked Boise State with 20 first place votes to 12 and a 7-point difference. So we're pretty close. But are you surprised in the West Division? We had the same thing. Fresno, San Diego State, we were pretty close with 5 points. Were you surprised about Fresno and San Diego State splitting those votes?
No.
15 apiece?
No. I'm actually not surprised at all.
You're just surprised you're wanting to ask if Chris Murray really voted for Nevada to win?
Yeah. No, and it wasn't Chris Murray.
No. I'm pretty confident it was not Chris Murray.
So I don't know who it was, but it did serve to lose their media vote.
You're not qualified to judge football.
Yeah. No, but I'm not surprised at all that San Diego State and Fresno State split the votes. I mean, we talked about it in the San Diego State preview. We talked about it in the Fresno State preview. That SDSU-Fresno State game is going to be the kicker. And basically, whoever wins that game will probably win the West. Both of these teams are good enough to have probably a 10-win season.
Probably not going to happen, but maybe.
Probably not going to happen, but they're both good enough to. And so when you have kind of those top-tier list of teams, you know, you're really going to, how do I say it? You know, you're really going to have kind of a hard time deciding on who's going to be the winner. And that's exactly what we saw. Fresno State narrowly beat San Diego State, even though both of them had 15 first-place votes apiece. Well, thanks to Nevada voters, because you took away those second-place votes from probably San Diego State, which is why they finished second in the conference, literally a few points behind.
2 points.
So less than a few.
Yeah, 2. Because a few is 3 or more, if I'm correct on that.
No, yes, you are correct.
So I'm kind of surprised. I'm thinking, after thinking about this, it should really be San Diego State who should be predicted to win the conference. Fresno State lost so much. I should probably look up Phil Still's percentage of lost yardage or returning yardage. Derek Carr's gone. Devontae Adams is gone. Marcel Jensen's gone. Josh Isaiah Burse is gone. They lost a million yards. That would be close to being accurate. They lose so much talent, whereas San Diego State, they bring back Azeel Ruffin at wide receiver, Quinn Kaler at quarterback, Donald Pumphrey will be the starting running back. They bring back more talent, overall, at least returning talent. And I'm just wondering, or most likely, it's Fresno State, Tim Drudder, look how good they do, they'll be fine. But remember, Derek Carr is a second-round draft pick. Isaiah Burse and Devontae Adams are in the NFL. So is Marshall Jensen, Austin Wentworth. That's a lot of offensive. Half their offense is gone, and they had one of the best offenses in the country.
I guess.
The logic makes sense. We don't know who Fresno State's quarterback is going to be. It's probably going to be Brandon Connett. But he was split time at Duke last year and was a dual threat. Ran just as much as he passed, pretty much.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's one of those things, though, that, you know, I think we, and once again, even Matthew Bain, when we did the San Diego State podcast, even though we don't know, we know how much Fresno State lost, we know how much they're going to replace, we also know, you know, what San Diego State lost. You know, losing Adam Wema, even though you have Donnell Pumphrey as a reliable now first back, he's not going to be first back for the whole time. You know, they're going to have to rely on the second guy as well. But
redshirt freshman.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about Kaler. You have Ruffin, but, I mean, you have the wide receivers missing. We know with Fresno State, okay, the quarterback situation, but we also know with Fresno State that Josh Harper, even though he wasn't in the top three wide receivers,
he still had 1,000 yards, and he was the number
three. He still had 1,000 yards receiving.
As
right.
The number three guy.
And Josh Quezada and Marquise Waller, they should be able to provide more of a run game this year.
You would think.
So, you know, you would think. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about how close the votes were and how pretty much awesome we were by predicting how close those votes were.
Okay, here's the thing. Really quick, I pulled it up while you're talking. Fresno State returns only 31% of their offensive production from last year in yards. That's good for being 118th in the country. San Diego State was about double that, middle of the pack at 64%. So they are one of the – they're returning very little on offense and with nothing concrete at quarterback. Just wanted to point that out. Was there any other I think besides that, everybody was right. Do you think Boise was the right choice to win the Mountain Division?
I think now they definitely totally are, especially with Utah State continuing to cut its losses.
I'm wondering when those votes took place, because you got to send them in reason about a week early, I believe. And so most of these announcements, the transfer, I'm wondering if some people held off on their votes just because they forgot or alternative last minute. That had something to do with it. But it'll be interesting once the season goes on. And yeah, Colorado State right there at third. That's where they'll finish. They may surprise a little bit, but until they can hang with Boise State, I'm not going to put them any higher than three. And then for the team tonight, San Jose State, fifth in the West Division. There you go.
Boom.
All right, let's do one more. We got one little more thing in the immediate days. There's the all-conference team. Was there any? Who was your surprise pick who made the all-conference team?
Oh, I have to pull that up now.
You don't have that up available?
No, but I do know. Oh, Jake Feely was the snub. I know that.
Who would you put him over? You wouldn't put him over Kyler Fackrell, excuse me. Zach.
No, I get that.
Zach Vigil.
Where the hell did I see that? Oh, okay. And then possibly over back Zach Bergeron.
What about Ejiro Ederane?
Definitely over Ejiro Ederane.
That guy? That name? But he's a multi-time All-Mountain West player, so it's like, how do you leave him off as well? All three of
You want to know my big surprise on here?
What is that? I'm betting I will put good money if we have the same surprise pick who made it. Do you want to say it the name at the exact same time to mess with people?
Sure.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Donnell Pumphrey. Oh, no. Two different people. I thought it might be the same guy. Who did you say? Watson?
I said Garrett Swenson.
Garrett Swenson. Where's that guy? Oh, come on. Special teams.
Oh, you wanted actual. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying. The difference...
Who's going to replace Donnell Pumphrey? I think that's a very reasonable.
As the first team running back, though?
Okay. Who would you replace him with? Cody Fajardo?
Can we?
We could. I mean, yeah. Brett Smith made the fourth team all running back.
Oh, that's right, with Phil Still. He put 5 quarterbacks on the list this preseason. I actually had somebody the other day, but I'm spacing on who I would put there.
Let's see. There's Nevada.
Oh, no. Joey Iwasafa I would put there.
Oh, I can see that. I can see Iwasafa going
in
there.
The last 4 games, I've mentioned a million times, 5 touchdowns, 150, just over 100 yards per game, but 120.
I think both Pumphrey and Iwasafa deserve that spot.
Well, I think.
I don't think it's a snub over one over the other.
I think I'm not saying snub, but a surprise, because Pumphrey's not going to be. He's 5'11, like maybe 200 pounds. He's not going to get all the carries. Iwasafa was getting every run carry Hawaii had to offer.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm thinking I would have had him instead. And then what about, we mentioned Jake Feely, but the Aztecs defense only getting one player in J.J. Whitaker.
Yeah.
You okay with that? Because Boise
State. I'm fine.
Because everybody who made the list was at least one time All Mountain West. Except for Whitaker, that's it.
Except for Whitaker. But in all respects, Whitaker probably should have been an all-team before.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing else besides I could see Feely, maybe, but...
Damn. But Feely's not... Feely's a linebacker. Yeah. Where else are you going to put him?
Well, I mean, that's the only defensive guy I think that could make it on the list. And then I assume everybody saw Brock Hekking's marvelous photo shoot. Are you a fan of his mullet?
No. I'm not going to tell him to shave it off either.
Oh, of course. Not even with the video of of Doug Chapman from Campus Insiders had pulling out the blow dryer.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And then one last bit on the media days. We discussed this before, but Craig Thompson saying, if a Mountain West team has 0 losses, they'll be in the playoff or be in the discussion.
Let's go ahead and ignore everything, or at least half the things that Craig Thompson says, seriously. Because, yes, while we could theoretically make the argument that a Mountain West team should be in consideration for a playoff, we know realistically...
No.
No. There's only been one team who's ever been ranked that high to even be considered as... a member of the playoff in previous, and that was the 2010 Boise State team.
No, TCU team.
Oh, and the TCU team as well.
Well, Boise State was not. You're forgetting that late post-November Thanksgiving loss to Nevada. As I bring it up again.
Yes. Let's clarify. Without the loss to Nevada, if Boise State had beaten Nevada, they'd probably be in the championship game that year.
Yeah,
and if not, they definitely would have been in what we would have considered today's college football playoff.
And TCU would have been the title game if not for a generous clock worker given
right. And TCU was sitting third in that, so they would have been making the playoff as well.
Title game.
There's only one way I see any mid-major team making a playoff, and that's if magically any of these mid-major teams start between number 15 and number 20,
mm-hmm.
and then run the table. And honestly, the only team I could see that is Boise State.
But they're not going to be great.
And possibly Cincinnati.
But
Cincinnati has to go through Ohio State.
Sure, but they're not going to be ranked high enough.
No, neither one of these teams are going to be ranked high enough to build up unless we have ultimate chaos like what we had last year.
Or 07, yeah.
2000, the year that shall not be named.
2010 as well. I think if it's going to happen, I thoroughly believe it's going to be at least 6 to 8 teams within 6 years. But if there's going to be a year it's going to happen, I could see the 2015 Fresno State team being there. And, if we stick within the Mountain West, I could also see, to go to the Hatred former member, BYU has a pretty tough 2015 schedule as well. But, excuse me, Fresno State this year, excuse me, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong year. If Fresno State somehow runs the table with who they play,
I could see them being a...
Well, you got Nebraska, Utah, and USC.
Two of those teams should be ranked in the top 20, if not the top 10.
Correct. USC is a dark horse to win that Pac-12 South. Nebraska's going to be right there. And Utah's five. They're not great, but they have the – well, depends what
– And they also have a potential of facing a ranked Boise State during that time.
Correct. And then maybe twice, or Utah State team is pretty good. So they could maybe do it, but it's going to take a ton. It's going to be, like you said, Kellen Moore. What was Boise State that year when they were in 2010? Did they start off like number 10, top 10 that year?
Top 10, moved up to number 4, I think.
They moved up pretty high, so.
And when they moved up to 4, that weekend that they lost, 3-2 lost as well.
Yeah, and then wasn't Nevada ranked like 15th or something as well?
Nevada was ranked 15th. I think they finished up like
10. They finished 10. Oh, no.
They finished 10. Boise State were finished 9th.
Yeah, they were right there. So.
It was something ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah. Good job promoting the league, Craig Thompson.
Exactly.
You ready for the Spartans talk?
Do we have to?
Well, we got to transition to do something.
Okay, fine.
So, San Jose State Spartans. They, as we joked last year, pump the brakes at the 25-yard line and go for the touchdown. Is that the same mindset this year?
I don't think so. Why? I think this year, so they have a huge quarterback battle, and we remember, if you guys remember and were listening to previous podcasts, you will remember that we had Jimmy Durkin here on in April or May, I think.
Spring football about Spartans.
Spring football. And he said there was a quarterback battle. But he also mentioned that the rushing game, right, Jared Lawson, probably going to take over. I think Jared Lawson could probably be a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
He was a freshman last year. He needs to improve up what he did. And
Thomas Tucker, 2 stars, right behind him.
Yeah, they had issues. Last year they had issues running the – they had a couple issues last year. Rush defense was just awful. They had lost – Noel Grigsby was out for most of the year. They had severe red zone issues. And Jared Lawson was okay throughout the year, but he's a freshman, and now he's going to have a year behind him, I should say. And I think he has a chance to, like I said, 1,000 yards maybe.
Yeah. So here's the thing about San Jose State last year. They finished 6-6, right?
Yes.
There are 2 wins, and this is one of those things that how did they still get left out of a bowl game? Because the 2 wins that was completely key to them. I thought they beat San Diego State.
No, they should have beat San Diego State and Navy.
They should have.
Overtime lost to Navy.
That's right. Yeah, and that Navy game was ridiculous. 58.
Multiple. It was actually on ESPNU the other day as one of the top 25 games of last year.
Which, do you blame it? No.
No.
But anyway, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback, although our friend Jimmy Durkin did say that today the competition should be settled on the August 16th scrimmage.
Yeah, that's probably their second scrimmage, I'm assuming, because fall camp begins August 1. And
right.
And that's 2 weeks before they play North Dakota. And a lot of, like, if I recall, he said it would be Joe Gray would be the starting quarterback. which maybe, maybe not. I'm going to trust him. He's at spring practice and follows the team closer than we do. And he's a two-star guy. It's going to be between, yeah, it's going to be between Joe Gray.
Malik Watson. Yeah,
and no, it's going to be Blake Jurek instead, most likely, those two guys.
What about the true freshman three-star, Ian Fieber?
Probably not. Because you have Jurek as a senior. Here's what it's going to come down to. If it's a tie between Jurek and Gray, they're going to go with Gray as a starter because he has 2 years to play. And then they'll redshirt Fieber, and Fieber will be the backup for 1 year and start as a redshirt sophomore. Assuming
Jurek is the only guy who's actually seen play, and his play, his stats are purely
terrible.
Average.
No, average, no. Not even average. 6 attempts, an interception, and 2 sacks, and 3 completions.
Yeah, so never mind.
Terrible. Terrible. Well, that was the time he played. So I don't... Whoever the quarterback is, they... I assume they're going to... Well, I remember what Jimmy said, their offense, they're not going to... He's doing a slow transition because... I think you brought it up last time. He's not going to put a square peg in a round hole and do what Rich Rodriguez did at Michigan.
Right. It's what I talked about in the Nevada podcast.
Yeah, slow change.
Yeah.
Because he wants to do, I believe what Jimmy said, they want to do a more pro-style, swing passes, quick stuff, more of West Coast, essentially. And they'll mix that in. That could give more value for Jared Lawson there, maybe catching the ball out of the backfield a little bit. Because even though we said he had a bad year, Lawson running the ball still had 788 yards as a freshman. And so if they mix in a West Coast, give him some pass, give him throw the ball a little bit, and he caught 20 passes last year. So if they're going to go to that West Coast style, he's a reliable guy. Caught 20 passes he caught out of 26 targets.
Right, yeah.
And they bring back Tyler Winston, who's going to be their number one wide receiver by quite a bit. They have a great, probably one of the best tight ends, Billy Freeman, in the conference. They have some offense. They just need a quarterback. I think that's their main. They have enough offense, enough receiving offense to be okay. Running game comes back, and then all that youth will become experienced. And
offensive line, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. That's the only, that's a problem.
That's a problem. I mean, at least your center has starts under him.
And left tackle, Wes Schweitzer.
Which is, I believe, the weak side of I think all the quarterbacks are right-handed, so.
Typically. So, outside of that, 0 starts. You hear that again? Out of every offensive lineman returning, out of those two guys who had 10 and 13 starts, David Peterson and Schweitzer, 0 starts below that.
So, okay. So, because this is a complete toss-up of who's actually going to start, outside of Schweitzer and Peterson, who are your 3 starters for the other offensive linemen?
Probably Fernando Villanueva as your right tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely. It could be Evan Sarver could see maybe be there, but he's a decent size. He could be guard, but then you got Keith Bendixson, because a guard could be a fat guy.
Right.
So tackle's got to be athletic.
Tackle's got to be athletic, and that's why you see Fernando Villanueva listed at 6'7", 298.
Yeah, that's fine. He's almost 300 pounds, but he's 6'7".
Exactly.
You could see Bendixson.
Bendixson will probably be your right guard. I'm going to go ahead and put, just because he's a true left guard, I'm going to go ahead and put Kyle Hart as the left guard. 6'3", 275.
Maybe. Yeah, you could see him, or even, yeah.
You really going to put a redshirt freshman as a starting guard, if you have to.
It's a guard, though. Guard, you just got to be a fat guy and push somebody around.
No. See, that's a complete misconception. The offensive line,
I know,
is what controls the pace of the offense, no matter what. I mean,
let me rephrase. You can play a younger guy because the more athletic you are, you're going to play the outside. Like the least athletic guy is likely your center on the team. He's got to be smart and do a few things. He's going to be at least athletic than the guards and the tackles. What I should maybe rephrase is that if you're playing a guard, you can play a young guy at the guard position, and if they maybe mess up a little bit, it's not as noticeable as the guy coming on the edge blasting past that tackle. So if you put a young guy at guard, it's not the end of the world. It's going to be. It should be okay if you have confidence in the guy.
Yeah.
But experience should trump that if it's. Yeah, that should be the case most times. But a young guy there is perfectly fine, I think. But, I don't know. I don't know, because they had Jeremiah Colon as a in the post-spring depth chart as a starter. And he's the redshirt, like I said, that redshirt freshman. So he could be starting over Kyle Hart there.
Yeah. Yeah. We can see. We'll see. See, the thing about the offensive line is, yeah, you talk about they just sit and hold. But remember that each one of those left and rights, it's based off the position that you can comfortably move back as well.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, easily, because of a lot of times you have less left guards, you do have to see right and right tackles move over to the left guard position. But if you have a guy who can naturally step back left, you know, without hesitation, then you've got yourself a nice chance.
Okay. So what do you think the offense will shake up to be? Because the two key position groups are vastly untested, line and QB.
Right.
And they weren't that great offensively last year, even with all the talent they had.
Yeah. I think that the offense will take a step back in general, but I think they're going to be much better in the red zone as a red zone offense.
They have to be.
Well, they don't have to be.
Yeah, they better be if they don't want to finish 0-12.
Well, there you go. See? Nobody ever has to be anything.
I know absolutes, but they better be. That's what it comes down to.
But because it's going to be your running backs who are going to be your more experienced and probably lead more, I think that's why you're going to see more of a running game this year and probably better shots within the 20-yard line.
You got to think that. I'm about through it again, but it should be better. So we got their offense mostly down. They have skill positions good. They've seen a quarterback and some offensive line, which is a big step. So let's go to the defense. It's not like their defense is that great, and they lose like players such as Bene Ben-Wickery to the NFL.
Yeah, but they have Gerd.
He's back, and they got Travis Rossidi there back as well.
Right, but let's look at the most important thing, that is Greg Robinson is still coaching San Jose State as a defensive coordinator.
That's a good thing?
Okay, fine.
Sorry, Spartans.
He's much better as a defensive coordinator than he is as a head coach.
Oh, so he's just like Norv Turner of the NFL.
Or Norm Chow. I mean...
No, Norv Turner. Are you familiar with Norv Turner?
Yes, I'm familiar with Norv Turner. I'm a goddamn Chargers fan.
Oh, that's right. You should be. And I'm a Cowboys fan and loved him as the offensive coordinator.
Okay, you missed what I said, though.
No, I got you. I got you.
Experienced defensive line returner.
Pretty much everybody. That's not
pretty
a bad
much everybody, thing. Which is good.
And not even, yeah, starters and backups.
Right, which is good because the starters and the backups looks like they rotated around quite frequently last year. And yes, we know the defensive line was horrible.
The rush defense was awful. I don't get. Well, I do get it when you see how many tackles those guys were getting last year, but it was.
But look how many of those names you see who played last year were sophomores or juniors starting for the first time.
Sure. Also, as I mentioned versus New Mexico, how do you have a defensive lineman 225 pounds? Too small. Eugene Taylor there.
Yeah.
How are you playing? I get defensive end. Okay. How are you just 225? How is Garrett Guanea 235 at 6'5"?
Well, they're ends. They can.
Yeah, but 225? Come on.
Haven't you ever heard of skinny defensive ends?
Still, you gotta. Come on, you gotta give up at least 240. 235 is okay, but he's 6'5". You gotta be at least 240, man.
Yeah. See, I disagree with that sentiment.
Okay, then what about this? How could you explain? How can you explain Hector Roach, 6'1", 216?
Okay, I can't. It'd be much better, you know, once again, I myself am 5'7", 215 pounds.
Yes.
I'm short and squat. I would be very well as a defensive end, providing I don't get swallowed by the offensive lineman.
All right. Here's the thing. They have to be better. Like, no, I'm doing it again. No. They should be better. They returned, what, 8 defensive starters from last year? A lot of depth in the secondary, most of their defensive line. They do lose their best linebacker in Keith Smith.
Yeah, but they have Vince Bouhaguiar back.
Oh, that's true. He missed most of the year, I believe. That's right.
Right.
All of the year, I believe. Head coach Ron Carragher is so secretive on injuries. And Vince Bouhaguiar. How do you say his last name? Bouhaguiar?
It looks like Bouhaguiar.
Okay. He should be their best defender of the year, him and Travis Rossidi.
And, I mean, you can even throw Christian Tago in there.
Yeah, that could work too. With the experience they have coming back, because their rush defense, if I believe, weren't they worst in the Mountain West?
Yes.
And who was it they played? Was it Minnesota that had like 200 yards in the ground like in the first quarter or something? Something ridiculous like that. How do they, is it a scheme thing? What do you think they're going to have to do to update this rush defense? Is it just returning players back, or?
No, I think one of it is definitely returning players back. But one of the things that it came back to, and this is not related to football at all. This is baseball, where you know, they had an interview with the Padres president, and basically he said, you know, a lot of this stuff does come down to the players playing. In terms of mistakes and in terms of things given up. You know, coaches can only do so much. They can coach, but they're not physically out there playing.
Sure.
So Ron Carragher in year 2 has to step up, motivate his players a little bit more. And I think that some of those rush tackles, because there were a lot of tackles that were, you know, there were a lot of tackles that were where they were brought down, right? They had a hand on them, but they got escaped.
So missed tackles, you're saying?
Yeah, tons of missed tackles.
Wrap up, that's what you're saying.
You have to. Because how is it... Okay, so how is it that Isaiah Irving, Travis Rossidi, and Sean Bacon have a combined... Let's see here.
About 100.
About combined 100 tackles. And then you see Christian Tago have 70 tackles on his own.
Yeah, or you see...
You see
defensive backfield. Yeah.
51.5. Damon Ogburn Jr., 51.5. Ben-A Benwickery, 46.5. Including a sack, even though Ben-A Benwickery also had 5 interceptions. You know, the secondary should not be making...
Double the tackles, almost.
Right, yeah. And that's just going to be wrapping up.
The thing was, yeah, here's the thing. They were giving up 5.5, almost 5.5 yards per carry and 215 per game. They were actually 7th in the Mountain West in total yards, but they were near, they're even worse at just over 5 yards a carry.
Okay, think about this 5 yards a carry, and you think of the setup of a defensive scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those 5.5 yards per carry are going to be basically past the middle linebackers.
Right about there. That's who's making the tackle.
But the fact that there's so many secondary guys making the tackle means that the secondary guys are playing up because
they had to stop the run.
Offensive line and the linebackers can't stop the run.
That would be correct. That makes a lot of sense.
So you see what I'm saying? This is the kind of thing where they're not bad. They're not bad because lack of talent.
There has to be talent to wrap up people.
Right. Well, and once again, I saw it last year, and especially in the Minnesota game. So many missed tackles. I remember that very clearly. And you're right. I think it was 200 yards given up in the first quarter.
So what's your assessment of the defense? How much better is it going to be? Because same with the offense.
I think they'll probably hit middle. I think because Ben Wickery is gone, I think the secondary is going to take a hit in terms of interceptions. I mean, the guy made up for over 50% of the interceptions of the team. Or almost 50%.
Yeah, he had 5, and then he had 11 pass breakups.
Yeah, he had 5 interceptions. The team had 11 interceptions total. So he had just under half. So I think with Ben Wickery gone, I think you see that the secondary is going to take a step back. The passing defense is going to take a step back. But I think the rushing defense, because of who they return, and because probably there should be a focus on wrapping up more and eliminating those missed tackles, I think the rushing offense or the rushing defense is going to step up some.
Okay. They should be much better. If they can get – I think there's some things there. They just got to – even offense and defense, they got to – if they can improve just a little bit here and there, they may not finish near the bottom of that West Division.
No. Yeah.
I think they'll be closer to Nevada than Hawaii.
So before we go to the schedule, can we talk about Austin Lopez?
What about Austin Lopez?
And basically how he should be the best place kicker in the Mountain West this year.
That makes a lot of sense. He's pretty accurate.
39 out of 40 point after attempts. Okay, 12 out of 15 from 0 to 39 yards. But 40 yards and up, he's 10 of 12. He was 10 of 12 last year.
That's because he got stuck at the 19-yard line and had to kick.
Anything over 40 yards.
No, I'm kidding. That's very good.
Let me look this up real quick.
What are you going to look up?
Basically, you know, what he missed versus what he made.
Can you find that on the fly?
I am. I'm looking it up right now.
While you find that, it's a good time to mention everybody that you want to get a free audiobook from audible.com. Our show this week is sponsored by audible.com. Head over to audible.com/mountainwest. Or excuse me, audibletrial.com/mountainwest. Audible is a leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information. I listen to podcasts all the time. As I mentioned all the time, I listen to Stephen Colbert. That's my favorite audiobook because who doesn't like Stephen Colbert? You got about approximately 150,000 titles, bestsellers, Game of Thrones. Like you mentioned, the second Stephen Colbert book. I bet there's even a Jon Stewart book he'll read to you. And so check it out, audibletrial.com/mountainwest. If you have a Kindle, that new Kindle Fire phone, I bet it's on there. The Audible stuff. Who has a Windows phone? Not many people. That might be there. Got a Kindle, Android, iPhone. Do you have an iPad, Chris?
No.
Do you have a tablet?
No.
Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Woohoo! You can listen on your computer.
Yay!
So you get a free book and a 1-month free trial. audibletrial.com/mountainwest. Help us out. I need a new microphone. That would be appreciative if you guys could help me out and give that a trial for once. If you have an hour commute on the train like I do, you can listen to a book in probably a week. Check it out. Come on. Help us out.
Okay, so I found that stat.
Excellent. Stats.
Okay. So he was 10 of 12 from 40-plus yards, right?
Not bad.
He was 2 for 2 from 50-plus yards.
Clutch.
Okay. He made his top 5 longest, 51 yards, 50 yards, 46 yards, 45 yards, 44 yards.
The guy
should be – there's a special teams award watch list. He should be on there, right? Can you agree?
The Groza Award?
Yeah.
So, okay, going back to that, who should have been Mountain West preseason special teams player of the year, Carlos Wiggins, New Mexico, or Austin Lopez?
Ooh. You know, I think we don't give kickers enough credit. Carlos Wiggins was one of the best kick returners in the nation, period. So I think he well deserved the preseason award. However, Austin Lopez definitely should have been on there.
Well, who was the kicker then? I don't have them in front of me. Who made the All-Mountain West kick as place kicker? Because Wiggins, he averaged 30 yards per kickoff and had 3 touchdowns. So pretty good. He had 1,000 more yards than the second Mountain West guy.
Place kicker was Jared Roberts.
What team does he play on?
Colorado State.
Okay, that works. All right, let's move on. Schedule. Let's wrap this up with schedule. Because I am, yeah, we're running long here. North Dakota, victory. Right? Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. Then we get into some interesting part of the schedule. At Auburn, at open week, then at Minnesota. Any chance they can get past Gus Malzahn and his War Eagle down there at Jordan-Hare Stadium? I know we need to do more research on the Auburn Tigers.
I'm going to say no.
Because they did, didn't they make the national title game last year?
Yeah. 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 Hey, remember that after Auburn made the national title the year before, it was Utah State. It was Chucky who basically gave Auburn a scare up until the last 2 minutes of the game.
True freshman Chucky Keaton.
True freshman Chucky Keaton.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't think we're going to be seeing one of those situations here.
No, Auburn, not going to beat Auburn. Minnesota's an interesting game. They should be okay in the Big Ten, but it's Minnesota. Not that that's an excuse, but it's Minnesota.
Right, and Minnesota was surprisingly decent last year. They had their definite up games. They had their definite down games. But really, if, you know, they've got that second-year quarterback after he started last year and after he just tore San Jose State's defense apart, I think the game is going to be much closer, but I don't see San Jose State leaving, St. Paul with a win.
Me neither. It's a road game. No, they're going to be 1-2 to start the year.
Yeah.
And then it gets into another non-league game is at Navy. They'll probably lose that as well, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So you got that. You lose. You go 1-2 in non-conference play. And then as it gears up, you got Nevada at home, UNLV at home, Wyoming at home. And there's a bye week mixed in there. Is there any chance? Like, that's not. For them, it's kind of tough with that 3-game stretch.
I think they go 1-2 with the possibility of going 2-1 by beating both Nevada schools.
Who's the most likable win in that stretch then?
UNLV. Which pains me to say. But we haven't gotten to the UNLV preview either, so.
We have not. I think Nevada, because if they're, I expect the rush defense to be improved for San Jose State, but it's not going to improve that much, enough to stop what Nevada can do. I think they could beat Wyoming, but it's on the road, and Laramie's a tough place to play. I'm going to say they're going to get one of those three.
I think you're right.
I could maybe two. If I'm going to pick any wins, it's going to be UNLV's most likely in line with you, and then probably Wyoming on the road.
So at that point, we see them as 2-4. Unless you're counting Navy's loss, then we see them at 2-5.
No, 2-4. Oh, yeah. 2-5 after the Navy game, which is that's a tough stretch. You go to Wyoming, then you go to Annapolis. So they're sitting at 2-5, and then their real stretch comes in. I don't know. If they're probably going to win one of these next 5 games. Colorado State at home.
Probably Fresno State on the road.
No. Hawaii at home, yes. At Utah State, no. At San Diego State, no. Their last month, their 5 games in November is very difficult.
Yeah, I only see them winning one game, and that's Hawaii. And that's if... And that's very much if Hawaii's not surprising us in every single fashion, like they're actually being
used. Yeah, because if Joey Osafa goes off, if Woosley was I can't remember his name. Aikiki Woosley, is that right?
Yeah,
Woosley. If he does well, what was that?
Woolsey.
Woolsey, yeah.
Woolsey.
Yeah, Woolsey.
Yeah, you said Woosley.
Oh, okay, gotcha. You pulled away from your mic. Okay, that means they're going 3-9.
Unfortunately, so I could see them. That's pretty much. So worst case scenario, I can easily see an 0-12 season.
They play North Dakota,
who is an FCS killer, just like North Dakota State.
Now I think they'll be fine.
All right. Well, okay.
I said I think.
Worst case scenario, 1-11. You want to know my best case scenario?
12-0? Theoretically, that's everyone's best case scenario.
Realistically, best case scenario.
Oh, okay.
North Dakota and Nevada, UNLV, Navy.
Wyoming?
Hawaii. And they take it to San Diego State.
So that's 6-6. Or Fresno State. 6-6.
6-6. They either take the Fresno State game or the San Diego State's game. Remember, those are Cal State rivals.
If I'm going to be super optimistic, go Spartans guy, I think I only have 5. Because you got North Dakota, Minnesota, UNLV, Wyoming, Navy. Okay, maybe 6, Navy and Hawaii. 6 is, I won't go any higher than 6, and that's pushing.
No, I will not go any higher than 6-6.
They're going 3-9.
I'm with you there.
November's just brutal. They're actually end of October. Actually, mid October. The last 7 games are tough. They get no bye weeks. They go 2-1. Here's their from October 18th on, at Wyoming, at Navy. You come home to CSU at Fresno. Not a road trip. But a tough team. You get Hawaii at home. You travel to Utah State, which is not easy to get to, then travel down the street to San Diego State. All those teams, there could be 4, 5 of those 7 could be bowl teams.
That's what I said. Two of those, this could be easily a 2-10, a 1-11 San Diego.
Yeah, it's possible. Because out of those games, the only ones I don't see making a bowl game are Wyoming and Hawaii. And Wyoming might have a shot.
Yeah. And, I mean, even to that point, we know that UNLV is off the bowl ban this year. And despite having worse recruiting costs, this is year 4 for Bobby Howell. UNLV might still have some surprises up their
sleeve. Yeah, I could see them beating UNLV. UNLV taking care of business versus San Jose State. We'll just see what happens. But I'm going 3 wins. That's about all I can do right now.
Realistic.
Yeah.
I'm in total agreement.
All right, do you have anything else to add since we're pretty much done here? Can you fix your microphone there?
I said I think that's it.
Okay, you trailed off there. I'm like, all right. Okay, that's all we got. 3-9 Spartans. This is a combo San Jose State Mountain West recap show of the media days, if that's right. Yes, media day recap show here. We are counting down the teams. So who do we got left? We have UNLV, Utah State, and Wyoming. Is that right?
That's it. 3 more,
and I'm working on a very special guest for Utah State. Crossing my fingers so I can get something done. Don't say anything, because Chris will be very giddy if this happens. We just need to make a record not late at this late of hour, because the person we're trying to get on is recently married, so we'll see how that works out. All right, so that's all I got tonight. Hey, check out Greek Padre on Twitter. Let's get him. Are you at 400 followers yet, Chris?
I do not think so.
Follow MWC Connection. And coming up in less than 2 weeks, there's a new website coming to our network,
which I will be part of as well.
Chris will be part of a website. August 4th, is that the correct date?
I believe August 4th is launch date.
Go ahead and present the website for everybody really quick before we finish here.
All right. We have a brand new website coming up on the SB Nation Network. You have us, Mountain West Connection, covering everything Mountain West. You have Hustle Belt, which is everything covering the Mac. Stop, dog.
Dogs. Mac, stop, dog.
Not stop, dog, but covering everything else in the group of 5 mid-major conferences. You have Underdog Dynasty.
.com. Like their Facebook page, as you should like our Facebook page, Mountain West Connection.
Just like everybody's Facebook page.
Yeah. You can remove us from your feed, but just like us. I'm fine with that. Does that work for you?
We like to be liked.
Yeah. So check out that August 4th. Chris is doing, and then this includes Navy, Army, the American BYU. Conference. Well, kind of BYU. We got to vanquish the foe, but.
Right. Sun Belt. I forgot to mention Sun Belt.
The Sun Beast.
Conference USA and American Athletic.
So check that out. Check our website, mwcconnection.com. Hey, we got a review on iTunes the other day. They would give us 5 stars if our audio quality improved. So you need to fix your mic because that last 2 minutes was unacceptable.
That was the dog scratching.
Sorry, I know. There, you just dropped for a second. No, I think we adjusted the audio quality because we knew there were some issues with it. I found a workaround. So we should be sounding much better. So that commenter, if we're up to par to your standards, give us that 5th star. But you can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, our website. Go to audibletrial.com/MountainWest. You can find something there to use to listen to an audio book. But no, check us out. We got 3 preview shows left before the season begins.
And then we're going to have week one preview, right?
Fall camp is a week away for most teams, August 1. Today's July 24th at this recording time.
I am so excited.
So by the time you listen to this, fall camp is a week away for probably 95% of the country.
Yay!
We get August football starting August 28th. San Jose State Spartans, I believe, are the first game on the Mountain schedule Thursday, August 28th. Them and Boise State.
Wait, San Jose State first or is Boise State first?
No, excuse me. If we go by time, I believe it is Boise State.
Boise State's first, yeah.
7 p.m. Pacific for that opener versus North Dakota. And Boise, that's 10 Eastern, and Boise State's at 8 Eastern kickoff, I believe, in the Georgia Dome.
Yes.
So we have August football. We are 5 weeks away from the opening of the season. Yes. All right, that's all we got for tonight. Again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. Check out everywhere I mentioned before to find our podcast. And we will check you next time for continuing our preview coverage. Everyone have a great day.